What's up, family? I'm Juan Castillo, and when I'm on social media, my favorite show to watch is the Don't Shoot the Messenger weekly podcast. Chris G, Professional Sutton, Rucker Report delivers sports the way it's supposed to be, real and authentic. So get ready to be entertained. My boys are ready. I'm ready. Let's go.
Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast. I'm your boy, Professional Sutton.
And I'm your boy, Chris G.
And it's your boy, the Rucker Report, a.k.a. Jerry.
Ready?
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game.
Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished.
This is Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast.
X about me. X about me.
With Professional Sutton.
You already know.
Chris G.
My homie.
And the Rucker Report.
My family, what up?
They for real.
All straight with no chaser.
Let the games begin.
Let's go. Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast.
All right, let me get rid of this background. Let me get it.
Get that out of there. Yeah,
I guess this one ain't. Nah, I don't like this one either. No, here we go. Welcome to another edition of Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast. I'm your boy, Professional Sutton.
And I'm your boy, Chris G.
And on behalf of our boy, the Rucker Report.
Cheers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just want to, you know, send our prayers and our thoughts to Ruck. You know, he's out here battling this COVID-19, but you know he's doing it. He is doing better. So you know, if y'all can just keep our boy, our brother, in your thoughts and blessings tonight. So today,
no doubt.
You know, so just want to say that, Chris, how you doing, man?
Look, man, I'm blessed on this fine Sunday.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
You know, happy to be back on the mic. I know we've been gone for a minute.
I know. And
I know the streets been craving us.
Word.
You know, like, I know the streets been needing us. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of sports hoopla going on, and we've been here to give the people what they need.
I know. But we back though. We back. Listen, we also want to send our condolences to DMX, his family. Also Black Rob. He passed on yesterday. He was 51 years old. So, you know, we losing a lot of our childhood entertainers. I don't want to say icons because I wouldn't call them icon to me. They are to some people, but, you know, our entertainers and people, you know, who we enjoy listening to growing up. So, you know, our condolences and to anyone else that's lost anyone. You know, we want to send, you know, a good shout out. Now, Chris, we've been talking back and forth about the whole Justin Fields thing. Like I said, I am a Niner fan through and through. But listen, if they don't get Justin Fields or Trey Lance, then I'm gonna tell you what, it's gonna be a long, it ain't gonna be long. It's gonna be short, sweet. No more Niners for me, just like that. But like I told Chris, I said, I think that the Niners are pulling a little rouge here. I think that they telling people it's Mac Jones and that they're going to draft a quarterback out of whoever university. Christy, what's going on? And I said, you know what? My Niners are smarter than that. So, Chris, I want you to talk about, because you don't got your shirt showing. I need you to show the shirt, man. I need you to show the shirt. There we go. You know, speaking of Justin Fields, and I know Chris had, you know, he was, you know, talking about why he thinks Justin Fields is really good. Also, I was doing my own scouting report on Justin Fields, and Ryan Day, who's the head coach of Ohio State, he was making reference to something. He's like, you know, people talk about, you know, Justin Fields, that's not that, but people got to say, you know, that team from up north. I was like, oh, he don't even call it Michigan.
Nah, they don't ever call it that. But hold on, give me a second.
Yeah, go.
Then let me do something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hold down the fort. Hold on.
I got you. Being a father is, you know, really tough. But, hey, you know, Chris got it. So, Justin Fields, I think that he is who the 49ers need to go after. I know we talk about that. The whole Mac Jones situation, listen, I'm not saying that he can't play quarterback, but I'm just saying he's just not the right fit for the 49ers. And I think that when we're looking at this draft here, it's very finicky, man, because, you know, usually it's easier to predict where players are going to go based on their needs, but we're seeing a lot of teams stray away from that. Now, the New York Jets, it looks like they're going to go after Zach Wilson, but we don't know yet. right? One thing we do know is Trevor Lawrence is a shoe-in for Jacksonville, which he should be a shoe-in for Jacksonville. But again, stranger things have happened, but I think that the Jacksonville Jaguars will get Trevor Lawrence. Now, when you're talking about draft pick number three, which my 49ers own, that has been one of controversy as of late. I know that half of Niner Empire have crazy because we're like, okay, why don't we just get Justin Fields or Trey Lance? There should be no issue with that. And then you have some people who are saying that Mac Jones is the quarterback who we need, but Mac Jones is really another Jimmy Garoppolo. But also you have to understand the weapons that Mac Jones had around him. Again, not saying that Ohio State hasn't had weapons, but the 49ers offense, I'm going to say this again, our offense is built on perception. So if you are talking perception in the sense of like RPOs, which means run player options, sort of the same offense, kind of like Kansas City run. But when you don't have a mobile quarterback, it doesn't work. It looks really, really bad. Christy, why you say Trevor Lawrence blah? I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence is a really good ball player. I think that he proved himself at Clemson. He won. You know, he's been doing this thing since he's been in college. There's not too many players that I can say who consistently played up to their standards, and he has been one of them. The good thing about him is that he's not a hurt quarterback, but I feel bad for him because he's going to a Jacksonville Jaguar team, as you know, who has been having a lot of trouble with the just the organization, period. You know, Dez, what's going on, man? I see Dez in a while. He said, it's his character for me. Explain that, Dez, because to me, I felt that Trevor Lawrence, you know, character was okay. You know what I mean? Now, if you're talking about character and Mac Jones, I agree. But yeah, Christy said in reference to Trevor Lawrence, he said, not yet. He hasn't played in the NFL yet. Which I agree.
What I miss.
So we were just talking about
what character? Character what?
I don't know if Dez was talking about Trevor Lawrence because Christy said Trevor Lawrence blah. Dez said it's his character for me. And Christy was basically saying, well, he hasn't played in the NFL. So, you know, that doesn't mean anything. But I think that the way he's progressed throughout college, that says a lot, man. I think that says a lot. Now, I wanted to get back to you, Chris, and the whole Justin Fields thing. Now, you are an Ohio State fan to the core. I know that there's always been that stigma of Ohio State quarterbacks aren't good, blah, 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 blah. But what do you think, you know, that Justin Fields has done to prove that he will be, you know, a good quarterback, an elite quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I'll say this, right? Buckeye fan through and through. You see what I'm saying? See what I'm talking about? See what I'm saying?
Hold on, wait. Buckeye fan. Okay, now you gotta lift it up a little bit. There you go.
So, you know, Buckeye fan through and through, but, you know, he hasn't done anything yet to prove that he's going to be a good quarterback. None of these quarterbacks have. True. I mean, what you did in college, let me say, there's Heisman winners quarterbacks in college that didn't do anything on the pro spot. So we'll see what they develop into as they become pros. You know what I mean? But if you're asking me what has he done to justify the so-called him falling in the draft, absolutely nothing. Because let me tell you something. The last time a football was thrown for college football, he was part of that conversation. And the last time he was part of that conversation, he was solidified as the number two overall quarterback. Now, you can bring your Zach Wilsons up and your Trey Lances and your Mac Jones. Totally. His numbers speak for themselves for what he did in college, okay?
Agreed.
Because I saw what Mac Jones did when he was on a level playing field. See, the year that he had to step in when Tua got hurt, I got to see those years, and he still had an all-star team, but I got to see those years. I got to see those games.
Yep.
So I got to see what he was, where he was with that. He wasn't a world beater then, but you know, this particular season, you know, Devontae Smith, Waddle, Alabama defense, Najee Harris, right? You know what I mean? He had everything stacked against him. He had everything stacked for him. And he did his thing. So, you know, I know what he did, but I seen what he did when he wasn't the overwhelming favorite. You see what I'm saying? So all these San Francisco scouts, or maybe it's just Shanahan, thinking that he might see something in Mac Jones that is, Matt Ryan-esque. I don't know why you would want to go with Matt Ryan. He's not going to do nothing but get you to the playoffs. Right. He's not going to do nothing but get you to the playoffs and choke. But, hey, you know, what do I know? But I just don't like – listen, they knock every quarterback. I'm getting off topic. They knock every quarterback when they're coming up. What did he say about Justin Fields?
He said Justin Fields did what he's supposed to do. It all depends on what franchises do around these quarterbacks. Dez said, will Trevor Lawrence handle the pressures going to Jacksonville, a loser organization, an organization that has problems all up and down organizations. Not going to be easy, which I said. And Christy said, it's really rare to see top college quarterbacks, be successful in the NFL.
That's true, though, right? I mean, you think about it. You can name on one hand how many top-tier college quarterbacks went to the NFL and were top-tier NFL quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't – that is really tough. Like, yeah, I'm trying to think – he's performing daddy duty here. I'm trying to think, like, one's the – and please, people out there, who was the last great – good college player, quarterback, that is, that really did well when they entered into the NFL?
I don't know, maybe Andrew Luck.
Okay, Andrew Luck. And yeah, because even RG3, he got hurt.
Same year.
I know.
Andrew Luck and RG3, same year.
Lamar Jackson, right off the top, I'm thinking,
No, I'll say only reason I say no is because he was good in college, but he wasn't considered like the best quarterback in college.
Okay. But he was a Heisman Trophy winner. I think, for me, he did, his thing transitioning from, Louisville, where he didn't have as many weapons as, they had, as other teams had, but he also performed and did a great job. Christy said, Joe Burrow, but a rookie year, he got hurt. Right.
Well, no. It's
really tough to really say. Like,
well, I'm thinking more along the lines that you're talking about, like somebody who was anointed as being this great quarterback, right? Who was in college, proved it, and then went to the pros and proved it as well. I'm assuming that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's why I'm saying Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was supposed to be a great quarterback since he was in high school. What I mean? I think of Andrew Luck like how I think of a Peyton Manning, or even to a lesser degree, but still just as much pressure, Eli Manning. Eli Manning was this huge thing in high school. It was a big thing that he went to Ole Miss. Everybody thought he was going to be, a great quarterback, got drafted. Eli was number one overall, was he not?
Yeah, and then he wanted to.
They did the trick, the swap, but number one overall. Then he went on to win two Super Bowls, and everybody knows Eli is, Eli is what he is. But I'm just saying, like, it doesn't happen that often where a quarterback is anointed or deemed to be this great quarterback from high school, and they just follow all of the steps of progression. Like, they were great in high school, they were great in college, they were great in the NFL. But to get back to Justin Fields versus the critics, the biggest problem I got with these critics is their inconsistency in their facts that are not facts, that are just straight lies. So you know who I got problems with? Three people the most, though, who I think have been putting the narrative, that have been spending the narrative on Justin Fields is not being as good as I think he could be.
Can I guess one of those? Is it Mel Kiper? Please don't say Mel Kiper.
No, it's actually not.
Mel Kiper has been good this year, Chris.
Mel Kiper has consistently said that he has Justin Fields as the number two overall quarterback. But he recognizes that he probably won't go two overall. And he has him going, I think, 10 or 11 to New England. Jeez. He thinks he's going to fall. right?
No, hell no.
But it's not Mel Kiper's. Three people.
Okay.
Chris Sims.
Oh, come on, please. Who is he?
Shannon Sharp.
Come on.
And Skip Bayless. And the most egregious of them is Shannon Sharp.
Mm.
He's the most egregious one out of all.
Now, what has he said that's been like crazy? Because I know you watch him a little more than I do. I just catch the highlights because I'm usually at work around that time.
So I would say the main agenda that Skip and Shannon push is that Justin Fields is inconsistent.
What?
In the two games that let you know that he's inconsistent are the only two bad games that you could ever pull from him, the Indiana game and the Northwestern game.
Okay, all right, okay.
Right? So it's funny how he's inconsistent, but the only two games that you can reference of him being inconsistent is the Indiana game, which I mind you, if you remember the season for Ohio State, they had a lot of games canceled. They had two games going up to Indiana canceled, and they had a bunch of players who couldn't play in the Indiana game because of COVID restrictions. Mm-hmm. Not a whole bunch of players, but a few players who couldn't play. They also talk about how it was a shootout, and it was his fault. But if you remember the game, Ohio State was up 42-14, and he had already threw his two interceptions. So it's the why aren't you looking at the defense? Because if you were an Ohio State fan, especially this year, you knew our defense was trash. You knew our defense was trash.
Yeah, I go for the straight dad move.
Yo, yeah, I mean, it's a skill. So, the reason that I get pissed off with Shannon is because he cites that Indiana game, but he doesn't cite, you know, the constant games that we got canceled going into the Indiana game. Then they also referenced the Northwestern game. They go, well, he didn't play well. He didn't throw a touchdown. He threw two interceptions. Oh, you're talking about the game where our number one overall receiver, Chris Olave, couldn't play, and our number two had to move to our number one. And also our number three receiver couldn't play, so you had to move our number four to our number two and our number five to our number three receiver slot. That game? Oh, you also talk about that same game where 22 total Ohio State players couldn't play because of COVID? Those are the inconsistent games that y'all talking about?
Right. But then talk about when he was the semifinals game and when you talk about the national championship game. Now, look, if Ohio State had a few more players from a few years ago, it would have been a different ball game. But he held his own.
Well, listen, the year before was our year, and I told everybody that, you know, prior to this year, I said the year before, not only did we have the offense, we had the defense. Mm-hmm. You know, our defense was stellar. It was so stellar. We had, five players get drafted off that defensive squad, and three of them went in the first round. Two of them went in the first five picks. What'd you say?
And one became rookie of the year.
One became rookie of the year, but we had two of our defensive players went in the first five picks, and Jeff Okuda and Chase Young.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. So anyway, that's the part that be killing me about Shannon and Skip. Shannon and Skip love bringing up the Northwestern Wisconsin games, but they love to like gloss over the fact of why those games were struggles. The struggle with Indiana, even though it wasn't Justin Fields' greatest game, he threw some interceptions that were like just, you know, trying to force it a little too much. And Indiana has an exotic defensive look. So, you know what I mean? He didn't have to force it so much. But that game wasn't a shootout because of Justin Fields. That game was a shootout because Ohio State defense let Michael Penix Jr. throw for 500 yards. Like, I just it blows my mind how they like gloss over that. Yo, it was a point where we was up, you know, three touchdowns. Oh, no, we were four touchdowns, and they let Michael Penix Jr. score the next four possessions. That's why that game was close. It had nothing to do with, you know, the not stellar play of Justin Fields. It had everything to do with our defense just getting eaten alive that game. But, you know, for some reason, Shannon, and I'm shocked that Shannon does that. Shannon's doing this, but Shannon's been wrong a lot lately, especially with that Kevin Durant stuff. But we could talk about that later.
Now we're gonna talk about that. I do want to get to a question though. Dad said, he said, am I wrong that Justin and Zach are 1A and 1B? I'll take either over Mac and Trevor.
I mean, I'll take either over Mac.
Yeah, I don't know.
My thing with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson might be great. He might be great, but I'm sorry. Any player that plays in that kind of conference against that type of talent, they got to show me. He got to show me, man, because I'm not about to get excited because I saw what he was with BYU, not this year, the year before. Mm-hmm. Wasn't nobody beating down the door for Zach Wilson?
Nope.
So in a COVID year where teams weren't at their best, where everybody was at disadvantages, this was the year that you shine? Like, I'm skeptical on that. Now, maybe – I'm not saying that Zach doesn't have talent. I'm not saying that, you know, people are saying he got some Aaron Rodgers-esque. I don't believe that.
No.
Some Patrick Mahomes-esque type talent. I don't believe that neither. Maybe. But he's going to have to prove to me. I'm going to have see Zach Wilson do it to be a believer.
You know where a lot of people probably get in this, you know, and I think that the NFL, they do a good job of bringing up where a lot of other quarterbacks played. And, you know, I don't know, somehow this always comes up to fit other people because the whole Taysom Hill thing. Taysom Hill played at BYU. Now look what he's doing in the NFL. You know,
what is he doing in the NFL? He's a utility player.
Chris, I agree. But when you look at when these players that the writers like and they really put shine on them, for some reason, they always go back to their school. And I don't know. Again, I could be wrong, but there's always a high correlation. Like a player will have an okay year, right? And he's doing better than people thought he would. And it's just like you'll see the quarterbacks come, you know, from like your school. Like when you think of like Texas Tech, you know, when you think of BYU, I'm like, where are these guys coming from? Like Oklahoma State, like who is checking for these people? But when their quarterbacks do okay for some reason, they are definitely doing something. Now, Amos, what's good, baby? I ain't seen you in a minute, man. He said, Marquette, they are definitely sleeping on Kyle Trask. This man was a Heisman finalist. Let me tell you something. I will be the first to tell you this year, and Amos, I remember when I was on your show, I was very, very critical of Trask, right? But he did a phenomenal job this year. And I think that in the right system, I think if he goes to the Patriots, learn a little bit. I like everybody to go to Patriots. That's, you know, like in that kind of, you know, way who's not mobile. I think he could do some, you know, good things. I think he really can. And I think that they really did sleep on Trask this year. Few games where, again, our defense sucked, you know, and he could have played a little better, but he never had us out of the game. But, you know, yeah, it's one of those in. You bet. I don't know who that is, but thank you for tuning in. It says, so you guys think that the 49ers definitely would take Fields if Wilson goes too? Yes, they will. And also,
I don't believe that
coming from YouTube. No, yes. You know, okay. I just want to let you know, Chris is a former 49er fan, and I told him if the 49ers pick anyone outside of that, I'm out of here. Okay. I'm out of here. So, of course, he wants that. Yes, I think that the 49ers will take Fields. Because Wilson is gone. Wilson is going to the Jets. Like
that's Wilson that. Is going to the Jets.
He's going to the Jets. Okay. And he fits them perfectly. The 49ers will take Fields. And I'm saying this because I think that my 49ers will do a great job this year. I think that we learned our lesson, Chris. I think that we learned our lesson. Nope. You don't think so?
Listen, you know, I've been keeping you updated with what I've been hearing.
Yes.
And, you know, and vice versa. So, you know, listen, I will say it is starting to move in the direction of that they are probably taking Justin Fields, but it was too much Mac. It's too much Mac Jones smoke for me to just go. It was all a smoke screen. See what I'm saying? So I believe I believe that Kyle Shanahan thinks that Matt Jones could be his next Matt Ryan, which, why? I believe that.
Yo, so Amos, and again, now, so I want to give my boy Amos props because, you know, again, he has what he does on Facebook. He has a great podcast. And I mean, when you're talking about college sports, when college sports season comes up, we will have him. Because he is entrenched in it, Chris. I mean, he's especially when you're talking about SEC, real football. He said,
let me tell you where real football, Amos, football get played. Okay.
Amos, tell him that it's there between you know, Pop Warner and some backyard football. Anyway,
you know, people who play in summer weather all year long can't trust them. I need somebody that can play in the frozen tundra. Okay. That could get up. Let me tell you something. Alabama wouldn't last 2 minutes in a Michigan Ohio State game in either one of those states when it was snowing. They'd be like, "We got to get out of here. It's too cold up here."
We can play anywhere. So yeah, I don't want to get to somebody.
Especially time. Florida. Especially.
Yeah, Florida. Yeah. Chill. Because watch him off, man. Chill. Amos said Trask would be a great fit for the Patriots, Niners, and Raiders. Now I don't know about the Niners because of our scheme, but that's not out the question. Glenn, who was a 49er faithful, he said 49ers better take Fields. I agree.
Well, listen. Well, Glenn, you're right. Everybody's right. They should take Fields. It's really a no-brainer. Honestly, let me be real honest. The Jets should take Justin Fields. Justin Fields,
yes.
I understand why Trevor Lawrence has to go first. Right. I won't argue that. I understand it. He just checks off too many boxes. Whether he will or won't be successful in Jacksonville, we'll find out. But you take Jacksonville off the table. Every other team that needs a quarterback after that should be jumping over each other to take Justin Fields. Justin Fields is the most accomplished. He's the most skilled. He has the most attributes. He's the most athletic. He's the most – I mean, I know people are somehow – they think Zach Wilson has this – you know, this flick of the wrist. That's what Chris Sims loves to say. This flick of the wrist type of arm. And, you know, he's the best thrower. I mind you, Chris Sims thinks that Zach Wilson is the number one overall quarterback. He has Trevor Lawrence at number
two. But you had to know why, because BYU beat his Texas Longhorns. So, of course, he's going to say that. But anyway.
This year?
when did they play
Texas? This year.
Last year.
Maybe last year.
Last year, the toughest
team BYU played this year was Coastal Carolina, and they lost.
Yeah, well, I'm talking last year.
I want to put that out there. They lost. Mm. The best performance we've seen from a quarterback this year is two games. You either take Justin Fields against Clemson.
Yes.
Or you take Mac Jones against Notre Dame. Now, obviously, you know who I'm going to take.
It's Notre Dame. Come on now. Stop.
Obviously, you know who I'm going to take. But I do have to put that out there. You know, some people thought Notre Dame was really good. I didn't. But some people thought Notre Dame was really good. It's always fool's gold to think Notre Dame is good. I'm going to tell you for a couple of reasons. Notre Dame is one of the most strict academic schools in the nation. Okay? I mean, that's about as close to Ivy League as you're going to get.
Stanford.
Them and Stanford, right? So, and they don't take no shorts. So if they want an athlete that's, you know, all world and his grades are not up to the Notre Dame standard, they ain't taking them.
Nope. That's right.
So, you know, they do play at a bit of a disadvantage sometimes.
No, that's their fault because if
It's their fault. Listen, I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah, no, that's true. But listen, they still benefit off the big boy football tickets in terms of, you know, them being Notre Dame, so they get all the $1 billion contracts. So that's y'all fault if y'all want to play Ivy League. And listen, you can play Ivy League all you want, that's cool, but at the same time, you also know you have to win. Notre Dame happens to have a good tradition. And I do want to get to some of these comments. Amos bringing up some great points, man. I'm about to send him the link because you might have to jump on. He said Fields is going to the Niners, Jones overrated. Yes, they are. Omar said Trevor Sunshine, of course. And he said the only league to take over any league is the Pequot League. Pequot all day.
I hear you. Okay.
He said, Amos said, he said, I don't trust Mac Jones outside of Bama system. And also the point he brought up was I was going to bring up about Trask. A lot of people are sleeping on Trask, but I know that Bill Belichick is just like, yeah, go ahead. Please talk about anybody. because Trask put up 500 yards against that Bama defense. And, you know, listen, if our defense just had played a little better, I know that my Gators probably would have pulled it off. He played a phenomenal. He played a phenomenal.
I mean, all right, listen. He played a phenomenal. But, all right, he did. But come on here now.
Come on now. Come on now.
Look,
he also played Justin Fields.
He also played with the best wide receiver slash tight end in all of college football, and Kyle Pitts. And I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, what did you say? No. I ain't saying
that. It was just... probably some bullshit. He played with Kyle Pitts, and then your other wide receiver, your slot guy. What's that dude name? Something with a T.
Shit, Amos about to get me. Hold on.
Something with a T. Y'all little tuning.
Yes, I'm
seeing
that.
What's
now
your little wide receiver name?
So, Amos.
You don't even know your player. Yeah, but that little wide receiver. I mean, granted, y'all had a. I'm not saying that Kyle Trask is a bad player. I think he's a good player. He's a day two player though, and we'll see what he produces. We'll see what he becomes. But he's a day two player. He ain't no day one.
Let me see some here.
You know, maybe he might shock us and be the next Dak Prescott. I don't know. It's possible.
He has some phenomenal talent. Let me see here. Are you talking about Tony?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Them two right there was a lethal combo because he was kind of the Percy Harvin of that Florida offense.
I love
him. And then, you know, Kyle Pitts, man. Kyle Pitts is unfair. You can make the argument Kyle Pitts is the best player in the NFL draft.
I'm going to tell you something. Now, I'm going to say that because I don't know nobody.
Put some stink on it.
I'm going to say, man, we haven't had a killer at tight end in Florida in forever. That's all I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say.
Let me tell you something.
See, I knew you was going to think like that. I'm not talking like that, Chris. I'm talking about.
You're the one that said killer.
Chris, I'm talking about on the field, Chris. I'm talking about on the field, Chris. You know what, Chris? I can't stand you. In my Donald Trump voice, I can't stand you, black man. But anyway.
You're the one who said killer, man.
Now, out of all
it's
of
like,
this.
And- it's like if I said, man, Buffalo ain't had a killer at running back in forever. You're like, come on, man. You know where we going with this.
You know
come
how
on,
when
man.
You say something and then you realize, like, y'all should have said that. Like, come that's on, outside of brain fart. But yes, Kyle Pitts, he was phenomenal since game one. Again, I just want to also shout out Amos because Amos knows the SEC through and through. And again, he told me, he said, yo, Trask is going to have a great year. He also put me on to Pitts. And he said, yo, I think Florida is going to be, you know, a really good, legit team. Now, mind you, he is a Georgia guy. So, you know, all season, he was chirping all season. He also had.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. No. I'm glad he said that. Because that brings me back to Shannon Sharp. Another criticism that Shannon Sharp brings up about Justin Fields is, oh, why'd he leave Georgia? He couldn't beat out Jake Fromm. And I'm like, you cannot be that naive, Shannon.
Nah,
everybody remember the whole nigger incident that happened at Georgia being the reason why Justin Fields left Georgia. And Amos will back me up on this. That was a big reason why Justin Fields was like, yeah, I don't want beer. They going to call me that. I'll go play somewhere else.
I mean,
and also to say, for a freshman to come in and take the job of a sophomore in Fromm, even though he was better than Fromm had just led his team to a national championship.
Yeah,
it wasn't just about to boot him out.
No.
You know, and for all intents and purposes,
he shouldn't have been.
He should have won that game. Okay, Georgia let that game slip because Georgia let it choke, and they choked that game up because they had I can't remember his name. Why am I flaking on his name? Not Tua. Jalen Hurt was choking that game up, and then they had to put Tua in. But as good as Tua did, Tua still needed an overtime bomb.
Yes,
to get that dub. Georgia was the far better team that game. Far better team. And, you know, they did what Georgia, you know, Georgia teams do. But I just, you know, I just can't, you know, with Shannon.
You know what? And then also, you know, I do want to give, you know, you know, again, Ryan Day some credit because, you know, and I'm going to get to this. Amos said the fact that Trask had pitch to throw the ball to is probably why he's being underrated. The same thing Ryan Day said about Justin Fields. He said, listen, everybody is knocking him because of what other people are saying, and they're not watching his film. He said, what I'm hearing is somebody saying what somebody else said, but you know the people that watch his film because they're talking about his games where he led his team. Even though, again, we didn't beat Alabama, but when you look at what he did, he didn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, that right there should tell you something. And that's why I laugh at some of these pundits, as Chris was saying, some of these people who talk about football, and then they wonder why the league looked the way it is. Because you're letting a lot of these people who don't have no influence influence it. Well, and if you don't think that Justin Fields is going to be a good player, and he has a lot to prove. Like, again, I'm gonna give Chris credit for saying this because Chris had to put me in my place. He said, yo, he got a lot to prove. And if you don't think that him going to the league where he's gonna have a team around him and it's gonna be for him, and let's not forget the play action pass, which I think he will do phenomenal on his cross body throws. The 49ers, they have broke it down. We ran 27% of play action pass. I'm just saying though. So,
well, here's my thing too with that, right? You know, speaking of the pundits, one of the big things that came out was some blogger came out and said Justin Fields, you know, he can't go through progressions.
Yes.
And that he only throws to his number one read.
Yep, yep.
When they broke down the footage, they found out that Justin Fields actually has the most. He I can't remember the percentages, how they broke it down, but he went through his progressions more than any other of the quarterbacks.
Yep.
So that stigma just came out and stuck until somebody came and proved it, that it wasn't factual. But by that point, the damage had already been done.
Yep.
But that's the point where Shannon and Skip are just throwing, and Chris Sims are just throwing stuff against the wall. I think he's not their preference.
People
are talking about, oh, he's an athletic quarterback, and you know, he's going to rely on his legs. And I'm going, did you watch Ohio State football?
No, because you know why? Because
you know how many times I wanted him to run.
Listen, you got to also understand they're from down south, so they're a little more biased, especially Skip. Skip is so down south biased, Midwest, Texas, you know, Oklahoma. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. Like, we already know what type of time Skip is on. Shannon, I am a little surprised, but again, I'm not surprised.
Where you from, though?
Georgia. He's from Georgia.
Exactly. So, you know what I mean? Listen, I know our little show ain't going to get to Shannon, but fuck that nigga, right? Because, and I mean that with all respect, right? I mean that with all respect. But, just the stuff that he putting out, and for some reason he'll cover for Trevor, right? When Trevor had bad games, all but, you know, listen, you know, can't be perfect all the time.
Right.
When Zach Wilson got his ass smacked up by Coastal Carolina, well, I mean, he brung up the COVID stuff then. Shannon brung up the COVID stuff then with the Coastal Carolina.
Again, Chris, where is Coastal Carolina?
They talk about Mac Jones. They forget that Auburn game, and I know that Auburn game from the season before where he had to step in for Tua. I know, because I lost a lot of money on that game because I bet Bama. And I watched Bo Nix eat Bama up and fucking Mac Jones throwing interceptions left and right. They don't bring that game up for bad games for Mac Jones. Trey Lance played one game this year or no games this year? I can't remember. One of the two. But they talk about how Trey Lance doesn't have a lot of starts, but he got the same amount of starts as Mac Jones in his career. It's funny, but yo, I only hear Shannon bring that part up, and it really got me scratching my head because I know he for the people. You know what I mean? I know he for the people, but it's rubbing me the wrong way how he capping for these white quarterbacks, but the black quarterbacks he being extra hard on. He ain't doing his thorough research like he should be. Well, I know he don't do his research.
No, he
his
don't.
Research team. his research team, because we got to do our own research. His research team ain't putting them papers in front of him.
Nah.
That's all I'm saying. If you're going to talk about how COVID affected Zach Wilson in that Coastal Carolina game, you better bring up how COVID affected Ohio State in that Indiana and that Northwestern game when they had 22 players missing, which was the most players to miss in a single game the whole college football season.
Yeah.
And we still winning. We still winning and beat Northwestern. We still winning. And Trey Sermon put up 340-something yards rushing, broke Eddie George's rushing record. We did that with 22 players missing.
Sermon. Oh, my God. I'm going to put on Sermon. Yes, he did.
Okay. He did that. Hey, talk about that Indiana game. Stop talking about how it was a shootout because of Trey, because of Justin Fields, when we was up 42-14. Mm-hmm. And our defense was just straight trash. And again, we were suffering from COVID and having missed. We didn't get to play the week before and the week before that. It was 2 weeks in a row before we had to play that game. But he don't bring that up. That Shannon Sharp there don't bring that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, Amos said, you know, I know that, well, Shannon Sharp is Fox. But he said, yep. He said most of them ESPN analysts are from the South. So they are pushing Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones is hard on those networks. And also, again, you know, Fox as well. I think that, again, you know, those guys and then Trevor Lawrence, he's from Georgia, right? He went
to Georgia.
You know what I mean? So, you know that. But this is why we talk what we talk and people respect us because we know what we're talking about. And if we don't, then we're going to say, hey, listen, let me look that up. Or we're just not going to mention it. But a lot of these guys, man, and I don't know how these people get to where they get to because they could just say some of the craziest things and there's no research. There's nobody checking them. And it's like plastered. Like, no, that's not true. That is not true. Like, how are you going to talk about Justin Fields, all his mishaps, but you forget about Alabama and Clemson? How? How do you do that?
Also make that point because I go, yo, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence went against each other 2 times. Justin Fields was the better quarterback both times. Both times. And Trevor Lawrence got one of them dubs.
Yeah.
He did get the first dub. I ain't going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
But Justin Fields was still the better quarterback that game. If you watched it, he was still the better quarterback. So that's two. And you know, Clemson, Ohio State, and Big Ten in general catch a lot of slack.
Yes, because,
we, you know, Ohio State is obviously the class of the Big Ten. But, you know, it's like, hey, you know, when they play somebody else, then, you know, we can't see. But what happened?
But how can you – but here's the thing, though, and I just want to say what Amos said. He said, I hope my Falcons get Sermon in the second round. I hope that he gets – that's going to be a problem.
Trey, I fucks with Trey, not just because, obviously, you know, he went to Ohio State, but, yo, you know the thing I like about Trey is, yo, he's faster than he looks.
Yes,
he's stronger than he looks.
He reminds me of a LeGarrette Blount.
Well, from the speed and strength part, yes. But he way more elusive.
He gets
out of like sticky situations. He don't look like he just like juke you out your shoes, dude. But when you in the trenches, right. I mean, he real slippery. Real slippery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And can break a tackle.
Yes.
On your mouth. On your mouth.
Listen, but he is one of those running backs where he's going to bring back the run game for the NFL because, you know, you got Mark, you know, you got Derrick Henry, you know what I mean? Who's showing like, yo, running backs aren't dead out here. So I think, you know, I hope Trey Sermon does his thing and I'm rooting for the kid. But also what I want to say is how can you, and then Chris and Amos, please help me, right? How can you scrutinize the Big Ten, but give ACC so much praise? Because in the ACC, who do they really – what teams is really out there that's really saying, wow, they're really good?
Nobody. Ain't nobody out there. Not right now.
But for even for the past 4 years, right?
You can go longer than that.
I'm just – okay, let's just say I'm just going to keep it into perspective of the classes here. 4 years. Who have the ACC had that you were like, wow, yeah, this is – wow, now we talking. And then
ACC been trash. Disrespect
the Big Ten? Come on now.
ACC, it's only been Clemson. Aside from those 2 years that Jameis Winston was at Florida State.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's just the truth. Right. All right. Now, I wouldn't say that the Big Ten is, you know, as top heavy as SEC. But the bottom of the SEC is trash too.
Yeah.
All right. I would say at the top of the SEC is what makes them dominant. You know, LSU obviously had a down year this year, but Bama, LSU, Florida, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing somebody? Everybody else, if another team comes in that bunch, it's for a brief second, and then they mm-hmm. back down to the bottom.
Yep.
Right? If Ole Miss will be good for a hot second, but they had the Land Sharks, right? Yeah, that whole shit.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they was
good for a minute. And then Freeze got caught, you know, giving kids money. So they was out. Auburn, all the time.
All the time.
You never know what you're going to get with them. Who else? It's those four teams. LSU, Bama, Florida, and Georgia. At the top, SEC, yeah. I won't take that. There ain't no other conference that got four stronger teams than that in any conference. But after those four, mm-hmm. everybody else is fucking pedestrian, man.
Yeah.
They're all pedestrian after that.
Mm. Yeah. Now, I mean, listen, when you're talking about, I think that they prefer down south football more than, you know, up north football. You know what I mean? And that's just what it is. Even when the Pac-10 was, you know, okay, you know, even when the Pac-10 was doing their thing, it was still like, yeah, but let's keep the shine over here. You know what I mean? Like it would just seem like they were just trying to pull the spotlight. And even when USC was doing their thing in Oregon, it was like, yeah, but that's just what it is. You know what I mean? Like that's just how it's always been. Amos said, watch out for Ole Miss and Mizzou this year. I don't
know. Listen, I'm not saying that, you know, again, it's other teams that come in and out of being, you know, contenders in the SEC, but they're not solidified. Some mm-hmm. years they good, most years they not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're Texas only
A&M? I don't know. Nah, Texas A&M now.
Oh, yo, Texas A&M is again, it's one of those
in and
out. Now I think they are starting to get into the end because Jimbo down there now. And you know, he is getting them ready. Texas A&M is a good team. I don't want to take nothing away from Texas A&M.
Right.
But I'm not gonna put them in that core four. Mm. I'm not gonna put them in that core four.
Mm. Yeah. It's gonna be interesting, man. It's gonna be interesting. And I think that the NFL kind of made this thing, this draft, bigger than what it needs to be with the whole Justin Fields and Mac Jones, because the NFL draft was just so dry last year. It was so dry last year. I can't hear you, Chris.
I said, you know, that was because of COVID and everything.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know, it couldn't be as lively. But just, let me tell you what we need. This is what we need. We need San Francisco not to take Justin Fields, so you can leave San Francisco. Because here's my problem.
Nope. You are on mute. I can't hear you, Chris. go ahead. Why? Because you want to root
my biggest,
for...
Here's my biggest dilemma. I want to root for Justin Fields. I want to root for Justin Fields because obviously he went to Ohio State.
Listen, you can root for him.
I can't root for him if he go to the 49ers because I don't fuck with them.
Listen, right? I didn't like the Lakers.
I want nothing but pain and suffering. Now, see, I ain't you. I ain't no hopper, okay? Once I leave, I'm gone, okay? Ask all my exes. Once I leave, I'm gone.
Ah, it's like an R&B song. No more shopping spree. Listen,
I can't root for the success of Justin Fields. If you go to the 49ers, then I got to root for him, you know, to burn out. And I don't want to do that.
Nah, you could root for him individually. Yes, you can. A lot of people rooting for, you know, KD, but they don't like a lot of Knicks fans rooting for, you know, KD or Kyrie, but they don't like the Nets.
I don't believe that. Knicks fans ain't that smart.
You're stupid.
Listen, I got to give Knicks some props, man. They played a good game today. Julius Randle been doing his thing. I'm not a Knicks fan, but RJ Barrett is a Dukie. You know, I fuck with Dukes. You know what I mean? So I'm happy to see, you know, him doing good. I'm glad Julius Randle kind of turned his career around and is looking. You know, the Knicks. I mean, like, I don't see him getting out of the first round, but the Knicks look tough. You know, they look good. They look good. It was two back-to-back games. I'm going to let you finish. But two back-to-back games. We got that master class last night with Steph versus Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
47 for Steph, 44 for Tatum.
Happened to go to Duke.
You heard me. And so, you know, listen, I got to watch my favorite player go against a Duke alum, so I was all into that. I couldn't get enough. And then so we got that 44-47 game, and then they got to follow it up this afternoon with the Knicks in New Orleans. Julius Randle put down 34. Mm. Zion put down 32. No, Zion put down like 36. Mm. I think he put down like 36, something like that. But you know what I mean? So, I mean, it was you know, NBA. They're putting on some good games. Now, last night might have been the best game I've seen this season in the NBA.
Oh, yeah, that was like not that go, though. That was like not that go.
Oh, yeah, they were letting,
they that, was letting thing go. That thing go. I was like, oh.
Them choppers was ringing last night. Yeah. I said, I know this. I said, I know Steph ain't about to make 10-plus threes again. And he certainly did.
But you should have seen him pregame. He was out there. He had missed a few, and he was just letting it go from there. I do want to ask about KD, man. I know KD, he left with like a contusion to his leg, to his
thigh. I thought, right?
Yeah. I had seen it. What do you think about that, man? Now, do you think? So here's my thing, and then I'll let you say what you need to say, right? I just hope that KD doesn't get hurt. Because of, you know, lagging injury. Because I know he want to play help his team. But, like, what is your take on KD, just the whole situation of it?
You know, my take on KD is Brooklyn is only ever going to be as good as KD's availability. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they've had, you know, spots where KD wasn't playing and they looked good. But they're not a championship team without KD. Mm-hmm. Okay? On top of them not being a championship team without KD, you know, even with KD, the chemistry and now the constant injuries that's been going on with the whole squad.
Yeah, man.
With the whole squad, yeah. Right? Yo, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge just had to retire. Mm-hmm. Blake Griffin's been in and out with injuries. It depends what side of the bed Kyrie wakes up on of whether he's going to be there or not. James Harden, who is really durable, is now injured. And, Kevin Durant's going on his third different injury of this year.
Yeah, man. Ooh.
On top of the fact that they don't want to play him crazy because of the Achilles injury.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, man. Philly is real. Okay? And as much as I think that they're better than Philly, if they're not 100% healthy, they're not beating Philly. Mm-hmm. And if they're not 100% healthy, they ain't beating the Lakers. They ain't beating the Clippers.
Yeah.
Whoever it is that's coming out the West. Because I'm shaky. You know what? I'm going to say it right now. Or maybe even the Suns. Because them motherfuckers is real.
Yeah.
The Suns is real.
I sure hope that Chris Paul can get over that hump, man. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for Chris Paul.
I mean, I don't know if I'm ever rooting for Chris Paul, but
why not?
I like him. Yeah, he went to Georgia. He went to Georgia Tech, man.
Okay.
He went to ACC. Again, I ain't fucking with nobody else.
Chris,
nobody else in ACC.
Chris, when had Georgia Tech really put a beating on Duke besides what? The early 90s.
Yo, not Chris even Paul. Chris Paul beat Duke, fam.
How many times?
I don't know. Maybe once, but that was enough for me to not be rooting for you.
Okay. All right.
I don't dislike Chris Paul. I'm just saying, like, he's like, yo, I really want Chris Paul to win. I'm like, I ain't with Georgia Tech. I ain't rooting for nobody else in the ACC but Duke.
I mean, now, if you're talking about Kenny Anderson, I mean, he was, you know, that's a little different. Anyway.
Look, man. But I'm saying, he's definitely turned Phoenix around.
Yes.
They have the talent, and with his experience, if he can stay healthy, yo, they can compete.
Yeah, I agree.
They can compete.
How far do you think that they'll go? Because I know that who just had, like, a major injury?
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I'm about to say Utah. Now, that's a little scary.
Now, Utah, I don't believe in. Utah don't believe me.
Oh, he went to Wake Forest. Yes, that.
Oh, Wake Forest. Yeah, Wake Forest. I'm sorry. Wake Forest. Still ACC.
That's true.
I don't fuck with Wake. I don't fuck with Georgia Tech. I don't fuck with North Carolina. I don't fuck with Maryland. I don't fuck with Louisville. Like, yeah, I mean, we can go down the list.
You gotta like North Carolina, though. I'm just trying.
Come on, man. I was jumping on what's his name? The new coach from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Herb Williams.
Williams, yep.
Yeah. When he started talking about his white wife and all of that stuff, I was like, get that nigga.
What'd he say? I just seen Charlotte.
So somebody asked him, you know, like basically, you know, how special it was to, you know, be the first black head coach in North Carolina. And he was like, you know, it's real special, and I love my white wife. And it was just like, well,
okay, all right.
What that got to do with any? Okay, like
that's a shenanigans we talking about down there. Okay, I mean he is on Tobacco Road. It's not Cottonfield Road, but anyway, Amos said Utah is shaky. Don't see them getting past the second round.
Hold on. Depend on who that eight seed is. Oh, they might get past the first.
Ooh.
All right. Let me tell you something. If it's Dallas versus Utah, are you 100% sold that Utah definitely getting past Dallas? Mm-hmm. If it's, I mean, because they in the play-in game too. They in the play-in game right now too. Let's say it's Golden State right now with the way Curry cooking. I mean, I know, you know, it'd be unlikely, but I mean, is it 100%?
Right.
Because I done seen, obviously, not those Golden State teams. But I done seen Steph cook Rudy Gobert for dinner and lunch and a midnight snack.
Yeah, that's true. See, I think what you also got factored in is when you're playing in the playoffs, those games matter. And those games can hurt you physically in the sense of like, yeah, you might win the series, but do you have enough in the tank when it, you know, in the next round? Because those you don't want to see a Golden State, you know, you don't want to see a Dallas. Yeah, they might even pull out a win, but if you got to go 6 to 7 games, now you're talking, that's a lot.
Because let me tell you something. You
better hope nobody tweaked anything in that. That's
let me tell you something. Steph is playoff tested and proven.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And listen, as much as Draymond sold last night on that missed layup. So is he. So, I mean, they get in. I would say this. If you in the playoffs right now, if you getting in, you don't want to see the Lakers.
No.
You don't want to see Denver. You don't want to see the Clippers. You don't want to see Phoenix. Who you left with? you honestly left with Utah and my team, Portland. Them really the only two teams you want to see. I mean, and you might not win, but you go, I got my best chances against those two teams, against the number one seed, Utah Jazz, and the number six seed, Portland Trailblazers.
And that's where it's tough because in basketball, you know, that record looks cute, right? But then when you got to play a seventh or eighth, sixth to eighth seed in the West could be like a third, a fourth in the East, and solid if they were in the East, man. So when you got to play those teams, man, that takes a lot out of you. That takes a lot. And then, like you said, but, you know, like Dame, yeah, you know, has he been getting far in the playoffs? No, but again, he's playoff tested.
Playoff tested for sure.
Right.
And look, you know, we're just starting to get healthy, all right? We're just starting to get healthy. So, you know, but I'm just saying, out of the teams where you go, these are the teams that I could possibly beat if you're any of those teams on the outside, you go Utah and Portland. Because you know you're not beating. At this point, Phoenix just got too much talent. Yes. Denver, even with Jamal Murray being gone, they got too much talent. Mm-hmm. You know you don't want to play the Lakers. You know you don't want to play the Clippers. You don't.
It's gonna be good, man. Like I said, I can't wait to have our NBA talk because a lot of people are saying, you know, a lot of stuff. Amos said Portland will be dangerous first round matchup. Also, just ask OKC.
the only reason I'm not saying that, you know, and I, like I said, everybody know I'm a Portland fan. The only reason I'm saying they're not dangerous because at the sixth seed right now, we got to play the Clippers. And I'm not like an unrealistic fan. So the Clippers not a good matchup for us. But let me say something. If we fell down to the eighth seed and we had to play Utah, I'll be like, yeah, nah, run that. I'll take that all day. All day. I'll take Dame going against Donovan Mitchell and them all day. Give me
and, that. And let's not forget Melo.
Melo's been doing this. Melo been fine. CJ back. Nurkic is back. Like, mm-hmm. Enes Kanter gives us quality minutes off the bench. I've always been a fan of Rodney Covington. Robert Covington, I'm sorry. You know, I was upset we had to give up Gary Trent.
Yeah, man. Uh-oh, Chris froze on me. Uh-oh. I don't know where he went. I don't know if it's my internet or his internet. You back, Chris?
I'm back.
Okay, there we go. I'm sorry. But you said that you was upset that you guys had to give up Gary Trent Jr.?
Yeah, I was upset that we had to give up Gary Trent Jr., but I do like Norman Powell.
Okay.
Who we got back in return. So, look, man, if we weren't playing – the Clippers right now, you know, if some seeding happens and moves around, I could feel a lot better. But I don't like us playing the Clippers right out the gate. Clippers is going to be on the mission. That's not the team I want to see right out the jump.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. But again, it's really tough because Playoff P is not playoff tested like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a tough one. That is still going to be a tough one. I like Portland. I mean, I would love for Portland to win. I really would. But like you said, yeah, I mean, we got to be real here. I think that the Clippers are definitely on a mission this year, especially with the debacle that happened last year. So, yeah. So, Chris, man, anything else you want to talk about, man, before we wrap it up, brother? Great show.
I want to say it was a great show. A lot of fan participation. Appreciate all y'all. I want to say Snoop Dogg is a funny dude, man. That Jake Paul Ben Askren fight.
Ben Askren, fam, like I mean, Chris went out on me. It might be my internet. So it might be my internet. I apologize if you guys are not seeing Chris, but he wanted to talk about the fight between Ben Askren and Jake Paul last night. What in the hell happened with that fight, Chris? What did I miss something? Because that's it. Like, how?
Well, I mean, you didn't miss anything. First, I didn't watch the fight. I just watched the highlights. Well, you know what? I can't even say I watched the highlights. I scrolled down Instagram. SportsCenter had the knockout up there. And that's what I saw. Even the fight was going to be free for me, and I still didn't want to watch it. So, you know, let that go wherever you want. But, I would just all of the highlights that I seen of
thank you, Amos. Appreciate
Snoop
it,
were just hilarious. Hilarious. Thanks, Amos. And look, as far as Jake Paul is concerned, you know, I mean, he has some remedial boxing skills. So anybody that's not a boxer, he should be.
From a fan,
you know what I mean? Like anybody who's just, huh?
But I mean, Ben is not that far removed from like the UFC, I mean.
Yeah, well, he could be not that far removed all he want. He was never a striker. You see what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
If he was in there with a Conor McGregor, even though that would never happen, he always
Conor McGregor will beat the hell out of him.
Well, here's the thing, right? Conor, a natural striker, would do way better than, you know, like, he chose. There's only one more fighter in the UFC that would have been worse to go into a boxing match, and that's like Damian Maya. You know, these dudes that are just, they don't want to strike at all. They want to wrestle you, get you down to the ground. And that was Ben Askren his whole career. So I knew that this wasn't going to be great for him because he had like a 2 or 3 months to learn how to throw hands. It's just not enough. It's just not enough. Now, I thought he was going to just get beat up for the fight. I didn't think he was going to get knocked out because he is a pretty tough dude.
Yeah, me too. He got
a chin. You know, right, he got a chin. We don't got as a forehead because that's where Jorge Masvidal needs him. But you know, listen, you know, Jake got the dub. You know, I mean, I don't really know what to say. Like, until he fights a boxer, I can't judge him. I don't know what he is. You know what I mean? When he fights a boxer, if he looked like that against I wouldn't say like a top 10 boxer, that would be unfair. But like, you know, just a I don't even want to say a journeyman because that would be unfair too. Like an up and coming boxer, you know, right. Like not even a prospect, like somebody who has like been in boxing for a while but got a losing record. How about that? He did that to somebody. If he did it to somebody like that, then I'd be like, okay, he might have some promise.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? But he has yet to fight anybody with any real, like, rudimentary boxing skills. He fought a YouTuber, Nate Robinson, and Ben Askren. We'll see what happens if he fights somebody who's, like, an actual, you know what I mean, who goes, if he gets in the ring with somebody who's like, I know I got to keep my hands up. I know what a 1-2 is.
Right.
I know how to keep my head off the center line. I know how to move my feet. That would be a monumental step up. Like, monumental. He does that with somebody like that. But at this point, you know, Jake Paul has been training to box for a while now, like 3-4 years. So, right. You know, he has some skills compared to if it was me or you coming in the ring. You know what I mean?
I'm popping.
Should beat us, huh?
I'm popping his ass.
Well, you know, as you should. But you know, if we got in the ring, Jake Paul should look good,
right?
And beat us. He should. He's been training for 3-4 years now. So you know what I mean. At this point, I need to start. I don't need to because I don't care what he does either.
Now, what's his brother name? Don't his brother fight?
Logan. Logan is gonna fight Floyd.
So, okay. Now he's the better one, right? He's supposed to be like the better fighter.
Better? He's the bigger.
I don't know. Okay. All right. He's first of all,
let's stay with that. Let's not go back.
I didn't even know who these dudes was until like he fought Nate Robinson.
Logan is the bigger, and I mean that in a few different ways. He's bigger, physically bigger, and he's more popular. Bigger.
Okay. All right.
He's the more popular ball. Say that again.
I say, my break just hit a home run. There you go, Freeman. Good job, buddy. Sorry.
Speaking, did you see my Mets yesterday? I'm just saying, Jacob DeGrom, man. Jacob DeGrom.
Jacob DeGrom needed
to lose. Just saying.
No. Jacob DeGrom needed to Mets.
Listen,
Jacob DeGrom, he's whew.
That boy filthy.
What a strikeout. What do you have, like?
He had 14, I think. Yeah, 14 yesterday. 14 Ks.
What was the score? And what was the score?
Oh, we actually needed home run support. So he struck out 9 in a row. Strikeouts in a row.
Yep.
And for people who don't watch baseball, 9 different batters came up and he struck them out.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
What was the score?
He it was 4-3.
Listen.
So here's the thing, right? So it was one donut for a minute, and he was just striking everybody out. And then he got a triple hit on him, and then a home run hit on him, and that's what got the score. So they actually had to come in and actually give him run support to get us that 4-3.
Let me tell you about Jake DeGrom, man. Like, I'd be feeling so bad for him.
But I know where you're going.
He'd be out here having like 20 strikeouts. The Mets would still lose 2-1. Like, yo, what? What are you talking about? This is one of the best pitchers in the league. Come on now. Don't disrespect him.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. One of the best.
What? One of the best.
DeGrom is the best pitcher in the league right now. Okay.
I just wanted to fuck you.
I'll put, you know, you could put Clayton in that class, right? Because I definitely fuck with Clayton. And there's a few other pitchers too.
Thor. I mean, listen, you guys.
Listen, Thor. Thor ain't been Thor for a little minute right now. He ain't even pitched yet this year. Because, you know, he had Tommy John last year.
Yeah.
He ain't even come back. He ain't even pitched yet.
Yeah, listen. Freeman hit the joint outside of freaking Wrigley Stadium. Almost hit one of those houses there. But I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But listen, great show, Chris, as always.
Oh, you know it, brother. And, you know, it was a labor of love.
Yes.
And a struggle to do this show today.
Hey, man, but listen, we got it, though. And listen, we got some YouTubers, you know, checking in. We got some what's good, man? It's your first time catching the show live. I listen on Spotify. How about this? Oh, my God. Oh, what's good, man? He said he listened on Spotify. Yo, much respect. I just turned it to your show as well. You know, great show. And he said, how about them, Nick? Come on, man. Yo, Knicks fans coming out of the woodworks now. Come on. See, now they're getting
disrespected. You know what? I blame myself for even talking this much about the Knicks, right?
I told you. Chris, do you know how many Knicks fans I had text me today? Yo, you've seen that, right? Yeah. Okay, you know what? I give you props.
The only thing I will get the Knicks this, right? They are better than the basement. You know what I mean? Because normally they just down in the dumps. And people was up like excited when they was like a 500 team. I think they're like what, like 4 or 5 games over 500 right now? Maybe even a little bit more than that. I know they're on a 6-game winning streak.
That's all that matters. 6-game winning streak. That's all that cares.
So I gotta give them props. You know, in the East, yo, I would say this: successful season for the Knicks this year. Yo, they get out of the first round.
All right. That's a championship to the Knicks.
Something to be happy about. Something to be happy about.
Championship to the Knicks. Listen, I will. If the Knicks get out of the first round, hey, I love it. Oh, listen, my Braves up 3-0 right now. Let's go, baby.
Come on, man. It's Atlanta. They'll choke it up.
You know what? You know what, Chris? When that happened against the freaking Dodgers, I said, you know why? Because they play in Georgia. I said, are you kidding me?
I knew it.
Oh my God. But listen, we're gonna get out of here. Yes, sir. I appreciate everybody that's jumping on listening. I appreciate you, all the love. You can catch us on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere your podcast platform is being played. Please check us out. We up there with the Joe Budden podcast, man. And also you know, all the smoke. Anyway, on that thanks again for turning. Thanks again for tuning in to another edition. Yes, Amos, go Braves. Thanks again for tuning in to another edition of Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast. I'm your boy, Professional Sutton.
And I'm your boy, Chris G.
And on behalf of our brother, The Ruck Report, cheers. Peace.
Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast. I'm your boy, Professional Sutton.
And I'm your boy, Chris G.
And it's your boy, The Rucker Report, a.k.a. Jerry.
Ready?
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game.
Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished.
This is Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast.
X about me. X about me.
With Professional Sutton.
You already know.
Chris G.
My homie.
And The Rucker Report.
My family, what up?
They for real.
All straight with no chaser.
Let the games begin.
Let's go. Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast.